Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect right now? With the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, need a new playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Shield your savings with a Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com, noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. That is Noble Gold Investments. Com. Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. What does the Bible say about immigration? It's a very important question. We get it a lot. And if you think the Bible only advocates for open borders, you are mistaken. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast by opening up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Become a member, charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab. Text these episodes to your friends. Talk also about Bobby Knight and many other things. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We'll start with this one, and it's a question I received. In fact, I was speaking at Dr. Dobson Steele, who's an American hero and a treasure. He's a very special man. And I talked about how the Bible cautions us against mass migration. And I had a couple people come up to me, and they loved what I said. They said, Charlie, I've actually heard the opposite from my pastor. My pastor says that the Bible only explicitly says that we must welcome the foreigner, keep borders open, and there, what you mentioned, I never heard. And there is a problem that we have in Christianity. Some of the most open border enthusiasts, the advocates for open borders, are Christians and pastors. There's a lot of reasons for this. Sometimes that they allow their heart to dictate their politics bigger than any sort of commitment to reason. But they also don't quite understand, in my personal opinion, the totality of the scriptures that have, quite honestly, verses that can be compared and contrasted. But you really don't talk about the warnings as much as sometimes people say, but let the foreigner into your country. It doesn't say it that as explicitly, but it's close. If you go to the border, it's Christian charities doing a lot of the trafficking. So what does the Bible say about immigration? What does the Bible say about borders? What does the Bible say about foreigners? Now, one of my biggest pet peeves and biggest complaints is when people cherry pick verses. I was once very guilty of this, and I try not to be. And so if I am guilty of cherry picking a verse here, please email me freedom@charliekirk.com. What do I mean by cherry picking? Not understanding who is writing it, who is saying it. Well, God is the ultimate author, but who are they writing it towards? What was the context? What was the audience? What was the verse before? What is the chapter? What is the language that it's written? It's very, very important whenever we talk about scripture. Cherry picking a single verse is unfair, whether I do it or somebody else does it. So I'm going to do my best not to do that. So if just a quick overall reading, there's this left-wing site, Sojourners, kind of left-wing Christians. And, you know, they're very supportive of refugee resettlement, open border type stuff, and 22 Bible verses on welcoming immigrants. And I can go through some of them. You've probably heard it in Genesis 23:4. I am a stranger and an alien residing among you. Give me property among you for a burying place so that I might bury my dead out of sight. Deuteronomy 10:19. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, hard stop here. That is not an open border verse. So that's a misapplication. Okay. Deuteronomy was written by Moses, farewell address. You should love the stranger. That is more of an anti-sectarian teaching than anything that could be connected to immigration. I'm just going through some of the most popular verses. Now, mind you, I went to 5 or 6 of these websites that most people would go, because most pastors don't do a lot of deep theological examination. Their wardrobe budget is much, much bigger than their book budget. So they're much more into kind of, you know, Instagram clicks. So they would just go, what does the Bible say about immigration? So when I go, just so you understand, when I go to these websites, almost none of the verses that talk about slowing down immigration or being scared of how foreigners can take over your country, they're almost never mentioned. Interesting. Now, this is one that is commonly quoted, and it's in one of the most important chapters of one of the most important books of the Bible, Leviticus 19. So Leviticus 19, it contains several verses that I want to isolate. It contains one of the verses that Jesus, our Lord, said all of the laws of the prophet hangs upon this teaching, which is love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19 is a powerhouse chapter, one of the most direct ethical teaching chapters of the entire Torah. So it says the following: the alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, interestingly, the open border advocates don't mention what is also in Leviticus 19. Yes, love your neighbor yourself, but what else? Do not favor a poor or a rich person in the administration of justice. So when you administer justice, the very same teaching that they always use in Leviticus 19, they don't talk about that also in Leviticus 19. It says that in terms of justice, you cannot allow your heart to dictate. If somebody illegally breaks into your country and they're poor, you cannot let that impact your decision making. They should be deported, because that's an act of justice. They broke the law. In that very same teaching, you should love on them. And honestly, one of those loving things you can do for a foreigner is send them back to their home country, because they're not going to be a foreigner anymore. The verses continue. I could go on and on and on, many of which are misapplied. But the verse that never gets mentioned in any of these lists is a direct political teaching, because some of these teachings are individual teachings. You should do this. You should do that. Very few are proscriptive for politics. Very few are proscriptive for government policy. A vast majority of Christ's teaching and Old Testament law is about you, 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 you. You shall do this. You shall do this. This is different. Deuteronomy 28, 43 through 45 is Moses talking to the nation before they enter the land of milk and honey, Canaan, which becomes the land of Israel, and the Joshua generation takes it forward. One of the last warnings that Moses gives is one that every Christian needs to listen to, internalize, and pray over. And very few pastors will ever mention this. And it is a direct warning against mass migration. It's a warning and a cautionary tale about how foreigners can ruin your country. Deuteronomy 28, 40 through 45. Okay, it was set to NIV, of which I do not like to do. So let's go to ESV, which is a far better translation than by my friend, Wayne Grudem. The sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. Another translation is equally as powerful. Foreigners who live in your land will gain more and more power while you gradually lose yours. They will have money to lend you, but you will have none to lend them. And in the end, they will be your rulers. So we must balance all of these teachings. Immigration can be an asset for your nation. We shall love our neighbors, but it's not loving to our current neighbors to say you have to indefinitely host foreigners and migrants brought here as cheap labor. But understand, there are explicit verses on assimilation, learning the customs and being foreigners no more. If foreigners come to the country and they are no longer assimilating, learning the language, learning the customs, do we have to allow them to continue to come into our nation? And I'm afraid sometimes Christians overthink this. And I can go through the list. World Relief, Christian, WR.org, United States Conference of Catholics and Bishops of Migration and Refugee Services, Catholic, USCCB.org, U.S. Committee for Refugee and Immigrants, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, International Rescue Committee, the amount of groups that subsidize the open border on the southern border that are Christian is unbelievable. The Christian groups are the facilitators, the co-sponsors, and they are the subsidizers. Producer Andrew used to work for them, for one of them. And he's very, very hawkish on immigration. Don't worry. He said it opened his eyes. Trump's presidency was an existential threat to them and almost bankrupted them. Remember the following. A typical liberal will say this. You should let in more refugees because Jesus said to be compassionate in the Bible somewhere. No, I'm not a Christian, and I have nothing but contempt for your backwards religious beliefs. So yeah, this argument wouldn't work on me, but maybe if I use it on you, you'll do what I want. Such a powerful meme. Nowhere in the Bible does it command you to ruin your nation, to allow people who hate you to come here, and to destroy the country. In fact, the Lord says in Jeremiah 29:7, demand the welfare of the nation that you are in, because your welfare is tied to your nation's welfare. All right, you've probably heard me. It's actually now 25 pounds that I have lost. And I'm sure some of you say, oh, Charlie, I've tried everything. That was me. You know, my first Zoom call with my PhD weight loss, I was kind of skeptical. I was like, come on, guys. All right, I've heard this whole thing before. And boy, was I wrong. They know what they're doing, my PhD weight loss. Look, this is 100% legit. And people say, well, Charlie, you've lost so much weight. And I say, yeah, my PhD weight loss, hello. But look, they have a different approach. And it's Dr. Ashley Lucas. She's great. I text with her. She does a really, really good job. 25 pounds, I'll tell you. And I have more energy and I'm healthier than ever before. Here's why. The program rids your body of the inflammation that is causing so many health problems. If you look around today, America is the fattest it has ever been. Our families, friends, and neighbors are dying of diabetes, heart disease, and Alzheimer's, now called T3 diabetes. PhD has helped so many people who want to have a good, active life, play with their grandkids, travel, hike to a waterfall, go for a bike ride, but their weight was holding them hostage. They don't want any of you on experimental drugs for your brain degeneration from Alzheimer's or homebound with an oxygen tank for heart failure. My PhD weight loss knows that losing weight is the best thing for overall health. We are way too fat as a society. And here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you say, boy, I'm a little overweight, it's perfectly fine. Do something about it. Use your free will, your agency. Say, you know what? I'm just not where I want to be. This is an empowerment tool for you. All of these things can be prevented. You look at heart disease, what they now call diabesity. By the way, there's a great new book by Dr. Peter Attia about longevity. You want to live long? Lose weight. Look, Dr. Ashley Lucas, she is the master of this, and she is the genius behind my PhD weight loss. So you can call them today at 864-644-1900. That is 864-644-1900. By the way, this is not like a sign up and you're automatically going to lose weight. You got to do some work. You got to apply yourself. It's not a too good to be true thing. But if you have motivation, they will channel that motivation towards a very positive, measurable, and real outcome. Find them online at myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Charlie Kirk sent you. That is myphdweightloss.com. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. Physician and dietitian developed, individually delivered. Again, I lost 25 pounds and I feel great. If you think you've tried everything, you're wrong. Until you say you've tried my PhD weight loss. They map you as a whole person. It's not like, hey, just read this book. No. It's a deep dive. It's personalized. It's going to get results for you. MyPhDweightLoss.com. I just want to close the thought here. I mean, if you Google, you know, what does the Bible say about immigration? They'll never include the verse about how foreigners could overthrow your country. Almost none of them. They're all about why we must welcome immigrants. Why we must welcome immigrants. You must not welcome immigrants. Why you must welcome immigrants. It's incredible how open border ideology has infiltrated at least the presentation of scripture. What I'm saying is, yes, some of these verses are obviously legit and you have to work through those. And you should love all people. And it is true that there is a legitimate point that it is a constant refrain in the Torah, the five books of Moses, reminding them that they were strangers in Egypt. That is 100% true. That's a legit thing. But it's equally as true. So let me give you an example. Leviticus 19:33. They say this is an immigration verse. Is it? When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. Is that an open border verse? No, that's a moral teaching. Of course I believe that. You should do them no wrong. Of course. But you know, the idea of borders and a nation comes from the Bible. God gave very specific land, a nation with walls, rules, customs, to his chosen people. I could do a whole show on this. I won't. It's very interesting. Yeah, there's this one here. 49 Bible verses about immigrants. And the verse that we mentioned is not there. It's in Deuteronomy. Feels as if there might be a political agenda here to open the borders and misappropriating scripture to get what you want. Very interesting. But if you are a Bible-believing Christian, I highly encourage you to know your Bible first and foremost, but do not allow yourself to be led astray on shaky theological teaching while the country collapses. God is a God of order and law. You think that God likes mass lawlessness? They're breaking into the country illegally. God created order and separation. Literally one of the days of creation, God separated the expanse. God separated day from night, good from evil. Holy, kadosh, in Hebrew, basically means separate, to separate. So a world without separation, a world without borders, is that within God's heart for his people? Lawlessness defiles the Lord. And while it's easy, plagued with pagan secular guilt, to look at some of these people and say, I feel so bad for them. But you shouldn't allow your heart to dictate the administration of justice. In the administration of justice, that's a political teaching, by the way, Leviticus 19, do not favor a rich man or a poor man. So do not favor the 20-year-old that illegally comes across the border. Did they come illegally? Yes or no? The Bible's view is that there is no racial justice. There is no environmental justice. There's no immigrant justice. There's no trans justice. The idea of justice being blind is a biblical idea. It did not come ex nihilo. So you look at people that have come into the country illegally. They broke the law. If you're saying they should stay, you are violating a teaching of the Bible, and you're allowing your heart for them as the poor in the administration of justice. They are criminals. And that's the other thing I'll say, the final thing I'll say. We have significantly rewritten history and rewriting, honestly, the present, where we act as if that these people are not breaking the law. They are criminals. They have come in against our laws, against our customs. There's an entire book of the Bible dedicated to building walls. Nehemiah, and producer Andrew put here, he said he used to work for one of these open border groups. He says they are a racket. It'd be really interesting to have producer Andrew on at some point and talk about that. Kind of the open border Christian racket. I bet it's very similar to most Christian charities where they actually don't care about solving the problem. They just raise a bunch of money on the problem, fear mongering, and also getting to the lowest common denominator of people's emotional impulse. Nice is the lowest, fakest of all virtues. Courage is the highest of all virtues. That would be a really interesting podcast to do at some point. Can you be courageous and nice? I don't think you can. That would be I need to think about that. Can you be both nice and courageous? Not in a broken world, for sure not. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Chances are you've been out here before. The chaos in the markets, oil and stocks, just when you thought it was safe and interest rates were rising, new threats come out of nowhere. Tensions are boiling from Asia to Europe. Adapting is key to safeguarding your wealth. You may not have considered gold before. It's not speculation, but insurance. And right now you need some insurance. Noble Gold Investments
have been protecting investors for disaster for years with precious metals. So if you're worried, it might be safe to take a fresh look at gold and silver. Gold is a proven safe shield for your portfolio and volatility balance against uncertainty. I buy all of my gold from Noble Gold Investments. They're offering a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with its new silver IRA. Crisis brews, portfolios waver, but gold insulates. Secure yourself against the threats. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Secure yourself against the threats. NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com.
One of the legends of college basketball passed away. I grew up watching this guy coach. You know, I remember an America where alpha men were more loved than hated. Not everyone loved them. But I think about Rush Limbaugh. I think about, obviously, Donald Trump. Here's a thought crime for you. Beautiful, big, great countries are founded and protected and made better by aggressive men. You cannot have a nation without strong men. Bobby Knight is not everyone's cup of tea. He had a spine. He had other anatomy too. He was a real salty person in a very good way. Bobby Knight, he would last, I think, an afternoon as a coach in today's time. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Go run sprints. Transgender, you're a moron. He would be not very tolerant of this. But Bobby Knight pursued excellence. He was a hard-nosed Midwest. He was America first. We'll talk about that. Coach who pushed his players to the highest possible level. Bobby Knight was hated by the media. For years, Bobby Knight probably pushed the boundaries a little bit too much. He threw a chair on the court. Play cut 137.
Two-shot technical against the bench and against Bob Knight. Steve Reed, an excellent free throw shooter, will have the honor of shooting the technicals.
Looky here, looky here. Bobby Knight just threw his chair clear across the free throw lane.
And I think Fred
unbelievable.
Jackson.
He picked up another tee.
Yeah, Bobby Knight also hit a kid. Shouldn't have done that. Very similar to George Patton. But Bobby Knight and Patton had a very similar way of leading. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Bobby Knight, I think, is the second winningest coach of all time. Now it's Mike Krzyzewski. And Bobby Knight wanted to win. We as a conservative movement could learn a lot from Bobby Knight. He did what was necessary. He was tough. He was intense. He was honest. He was the best that the Midwest had to offer. Honestly, I'm proud to have been raised in the region of Bobby Knight. You wouldn't want to face him, and players wanted to play for him. And you better believe Bobby Knight had a temper. He yelled. He did some bad stuff at times. But on the other hand, his players had a 96% graduation rate. He believed that if a player couldn't show up to class and get good grades, they didn't belong on his team. He did not pander to the lowest common denominator of this black pandering crap that now exists in NCAA sports. Oh, I'm studying physical fitness. Yeah, sure. Bobby Knight's like, no, you're going to get a degree because you're probably not going to be an NBA player. He loved his players and his players loved him. He was very well known for doing anonymous acts of charity. He never had a single NCAA violation, not a recruiting scandal like Jim Harbaugh, this Jim Harbaugh thing. But Jim Harbaugh might as well just get in the headset of the guys of the Big Ten. Are we sure that Jim Harbaugh wasn't just like hacking into the radio frequencies? Leading a team for almost three decades and winning three NCAA titles. One of the hardest things for those of you that I love college basketball, not as much as college football, but I love March Madness. I don't really watch regular season. I think it's kind of a waste of time. March Madness is one of the most beautiful things that America has to offer as far as you could learn a lot psychologically and culturally. To win three NCAA titles is unbelievable. That is so hard. You're lucky to win one. You're lucky to go to a Final Four. Bobby Knight dominated. And he was an America first patriot. Donald Trump was getting a late surge. We forget this in the 2016 primary. In the 2016 primary, there was a last gasp effort to stop Donald Trump from becoming the nominee. It was led by Ted Cruz at the time. And Ted Cruz went all in on a series of Midwestern states. Wisconsin being the first one. Scott Walker, I think, endorsed Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz won Wisconsin. People forget that. But all kind of came down the way the delegate math was falling was that if Trump could continue and win a couple Midwestern states, then the whole game would be changed. And I remember watching out of nowhere the great Bobby Knight coming out and endorsing Donald Trump in the primary. They saw a lot of each other in each other. I think that's why they both loved each other. Trump had a huge soft spot for Bobby Knight. He loved Bobby Knight. His tribute to Bobby Knight was so beautiful. They were not liked by everybody, but they got results. And here is the takeaway for Bobby Knight and George Patton and Donald Trump, whoever, whatever it is. You cannot have beautiful things. You cannot have big things be done successfully without alpha men. It cannot be done. You cannot have a bunch of feeling women and metrosexual men. God bless them all. There's a place for them once it's over to storm the beach. Sometimes you need men to break things and to lead. And they're not always nice. They're not always gentle. They sometimes put on the full armor of God and they go to war. Let's go to this one. Him talking about Michael Jordan. Which one is that? He knew talent, by the way. Cut 135 when Jordan was still a college basketball player. Cut 135.
The kid is just an absolutely great kid. If I were going to pick the three or four best athletes I've ever seen play basketball, he'd be one of them. I think he's the best athlete I've ever seen play basketball, bar none. If I were going to pick people with the best ability I'd ever seen play the game, he'd be one of them. If I were going to pick the best competitors that I'd ever seen play, he'd be one of them. So in the categories of competitiveness, ability, skill, and then athletic ability, he's the best athlete, he's one of the best competitors, he's one of the most skilled players. And that, to me, makes him the best basketball player that I've ever seen play.
Yeah, he knew talent. Trump knows talent, too. One of my favorite quotes, this is how politically incorrect he is. I got to do one at a time. So somebody asked Bobby Knight, if you knew that the world was ending in 1 hour, what would you do? He said, I would go to a women's basketball game because it would be the longest hour of my life. All right, that's not very nice, but it's hilarious. He really didn't care, man. He did not care. So similar to Trump. And here, Bobby, it's conceivable Trump might not have won the primary as cleanly as he did without the great Bobby Knight. Play cut 139.
We got to talk about this presidential crap just for a moment here. You know, just you older folks remember this. Your mothers, fathers have taught you this. I'll tell you who they said wasn't presidential. I don't even know what the hell presidential means, but they told him that he wasn't presidential. And that guy they told all these people that wanted to say you're not presidential, that guy was Harry Truman. And Harry Truman, with what he did in dropping and having the guts to drop the bomb in 1944, saved billions of American lives. And that's what Harry Truman did. And he became one of the three great presidents of the United States. And here's a man who would do the same thing because he's going to become one of the four great presidents of the United States.
How many people in their endorsement, you know, you think he's going to say, many of you remember Ronald Reagan or maybe Nixon, but not, it's Harry Truman. And not Harry Truman for establishing the state of Israel. And I was like, you know what I liked most about Harry Truman? Nagasaki. He won me over at Hiroshima. And this guy would do the same. There's a lot of truth to that. I'm not going to get into the morality of dropping the bombs there, but it does go to show, why did Bobby Knight like Trump and Trump like Bobby Knight? Sometimes unpopular things need to be done in war that are necessary for the advancement of morality and the protection of the innocent. Dresden, Nagasaki, Hiroshima. It's not that we're proud of them, but they might have been necessary. We got a question here from Teresa. Charlie, tell me more about what happened at the University of Arizona. It seems to have been making a lot of headlines. Yeah, so we wrote this article at tpusa.com. A professor canceled class at the University of Arizona. It's quite a remarkable development here. Let me show you. Dear colleagues, as many of you are aware, Turning Point USA scheduled to hold a rally. First of all, it wasn't a rally, okay? It was a conversation. Some people got very upset. And the Student Union Administration Building, UAPD, is currently monitoring the situation. Please encourage staff, faculty, and students in your units who may be impacted to consider avoiding the area, offering mental health counseling services, canceling class, dean student office, and also crisis management. Crisis management. Well, hilariously, the people that got the most upset were the bad guys there. Just people that were screaming. I was there to have a conversation and have some dialogue. They wanted nothing to do with it. This has now gone viral, seen millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of times. I'm willing to talk to anybody. Play cut 128.
F*** you, I hate you.
Yeah. Would you like to have a substantive conversation? Or
a substantive?
Yeah.
A substantive? No, man, I think you're a f***ing asshole.
Would you like to have a conversation?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't like you. I think you spread hate. I think you spread bigotry. I think you piss a lot of people off because you're just an awful person. I don't think you really want to debate because you're just here to piss people off and energize your crowd of racists.
What have I ever said that's racist?
Oh, what?
Can you name one thing?
I'm Hispanic. Can I support Charlie?
Can you name
Does that mean anything?
Can you name a second thing I've ever said that's
sure.
racist?
I think you're just trying to play a game, and I think this is obviously going to be used.
What have I ever
favor,
said that's hateful?
I just want to hate you. You're awful. Get off my campus.
When have I ever said anything that's hateful? Have a nice day. He can't say anything I've ever said that's racist, because I've never said anything that's racist. That is the American left in one picture, everybody. Lots of rage and no wisdom.
I did come up with that right then and there, for the record. And I think it has millions and millions and millions of views. It's well over 2 million views now. So what's really upsetting, though, obviously students, yeah, tell people not to go there, kids getting counseling or whatever. It was largely a great, great time. I loved what he said. You are here to spread hate. I hate you. Sounds like you have hate on the mind, man. And if you would have just wanted to have a dialogue, I'd be more than happy to do that. More than happy to have a conversation back and forth. But it is one of the more troubling trends in the country. That if you don't want to have a conversation with the other side, then you're just going to use political power to obliterate the other side, and that is what the left is doing to us. College campuses have become islands of totalitarianism. You know what's been amazing? Our friend who publishes our book, The College Scam, has come back. Our book sales the last 6 months is unbelievable. Usually books taper. This book is accelerating. The last 60 days, we've almost sold more. I mean, the proceeds of that book, College Scam, go to Turning Point USA. So it's great. Turning Point got a nice six-figure royalty check this quarter. Which is amazing. So it does really, it's doing very, very well. And they said, the last 60 days, we've sold more books in the last, even when we launched it. And I think I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I think Andrew would agree. There is something changing of people's opinion of college. I don't want to get too high in my own supply. I don't want to say that, things are overly happening, but enrollment is down. People's attitudes are legitimately changing. They are. Colleges are going bankrupt. I have major donors calling me saying that they're pulling gifts from major institutions and colleges. So praise God. And if any of you are not yet convinced, check out the book, The College Scam. It is a great book. I mean, obviously, I think it's a great book, but the research there alone, there's 35 pages of footnotes. It is a bulletproof argument. Because I don't come after it from some emotional way. I say, here are the facts. Here's the graduation rates. Here's your earning potential. Here are the ideas. Here's the Jew hatred. Here's the anti-white ideology that is being spread. Here's the anti-Christian ideology that's being spread. All brought to you at a college campus near you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.